This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Welcome to Thursday. It is October 18th, 2018. Thanks for joining us in the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got plenty of sunshine this afternoon. Right now, 52 degrees. We're heading to a high of 57.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. The Dow once again sliding along with the two other major indices. Let's get the latest in the numbers from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Rob, with losses of more than 1% to almost 2% now for the composite. The Dow down 310 points or 1.25% right now at 25,395. NASDAQ lower by 136 points, S&P down 35. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index losing 1.25%. A major bank is warning the U.S. has a greater than 50-50 chance of tipping into a recession over the next 2 years. J.P. Morgan Chase also says the odds of a recession are even higher over the next 3 years, topping 80%. We got a reading on leading economic indicators today. They rose 0.5%, stretching to a fresh record and coming in better than forecast. 8 of the 10 components for the LEI that were tracked posted gains. Another upbeat reading comes on jobless claims. They continue to hover near a half-century low, down 5,000 last week to 210,000. Crude oil futures are also in retreat again today, down to $69.33 a barrel. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, leading indicators are up for the 12th month in a row, but Wall Street is selling off. Why is that? We will investigate. And what to do if you are the winner of the Mega Millions.
It's Technology Thursday. Apple has a new website that reveals what personal information it has about you. It can compile a report and send it to you via email. And then Facebook is getting ready for the midterm elections to combat false information. They have a war room. We'll go inside.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Apple launches a new privacy website as it gets ready for a new product event in a couple of weeks. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, we are digesting yesterday's release of minutes from the meeting of the Federal Reserve and also the moves that the Federal Reserve apparently wants to make. We're joined by David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors, author of the new book, Understanding Central Banking in Denver. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, David.
Nice to be with you.
Let's talk about where the Fed apparently is going and also the pushback from so many people, including the President of the United States.
Well, I think those minutes certainly gave us a strong hint as to where they're going. And I would underscore the fact that they removed the phrase, the stance of monetary policy remains accommodative. The very fact they took that phrase out of their policy minutes after keeping that phrase in for so long suggests we're headed still higher in interest rates. I certainly expect another quarter point hike from the Fed in December. One of the important points to make here is the markets got used to easy money, almost free money, for nearly a decade. And the come down from that reality as the Fed raises rates to try to get to what they call neutral is really shaking up the markets. The markets move so high that in that rarefied atmosphere with free money, they just didn't know how to react to the new world of rising interest rates.
Well, so explain how this would affect the overall economy.
Well, so far, rates are going up because the economy is so strong. The Fed used that term strong in its policy directive, I don't know, something like five times in the first paragraph. I can't remember when the Fed has indicated the kind of strength we see in the labor market, in economic activity, in household spending, in business fixed investment. It's really quite a story. So I think the general feeling is that rates have to go higher. When the Fed gets to where they think neutral might be, and that's a difficult thing to forecast. They're around 3% on the federal funds rate in that level. They may pause for a while, but at the moment, I think the Fed is still of a mind to go up in rates despite the president's displeasure.
Does this have the potential to derail the economy and send it into recession, or is it way too early to tell?
You've answered your own question perfectly. It's way too early to tell. I think given the momentum in the economy, it will take something above neutral, something above this 3% level, I don't know, 3.5%, 4% on the Fed funds rate to really do damage to the economy. And I do want to emphasize one thing. I think the Fed will be somewhat sensitive to the possibility that raising rates too fast might hurt the economy, and the first hints of that would cause the Fed to, of course, stop hiking rates. So at the very least, the president's displeasure with higher interest rates will make the Fed more sensitive to any possibility the economy is slowing because of those higher rates.
The chairman of the Federal Reserve, in some ways, is kind of like a Supreme Court justice. They're supposed to be above politics and above the back and forth of Washington. But Alan Greenspan, who served for a bunch of presidents, said, no, they're political creatures just like everybody else. I mean, do you buy Chairman Greenspan's assessment of the job?
Well, he's right, basically. But I would emphasize that the Fed is independent. Certainly Greenspan was in his excellent tenure as chairman. They can't be completely divorced from politics, because obviously nominations of Fed governors comes from the president with the vice consent of the Senate. So by nature, politics get into that process. But I do think of all the agencies, the Fed certainly is among the most independent of at least government commentary, such as we've seen from President Trump.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, David. We're going to be calling you. Consider that. David Jones is chairman of DMJ Advisors, author of the new book, Understanding Central Banking in Denver. And coming up, Apple makes it easier for users to download everything they've stored on the company's servers.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Apple has unveiled a new website that makes it easier for users to look at and possibly delete their data. It also has a product launch event set for October 30th. Let's get the latest from Shelley Palmer, who is the CEO of the Palmer Group based in New York. Shelley, welcome back to the program. Let's talk about this Apple privacy website. It's a website. You type in your Apple ID and your password, and then what do you get back from Apple?
So you've got it exactly right. It's privacy.apple.com, and you put in your Apple ID and password, and what you're able to do is obtain a copy of every ounce of data Apple has ever stored about you, so you know what they have. And if you want them to delete it, you can ask them to delete it right there, and it's pretty fabulous. It downloads a zip file you actually have 2 weeks to go get. So after you ask for it, you have 2 weeks to download the file in case you don't feel like doing it immediately. Again, if you don't want them to have any of your data, you just tell them, hey, I don't want you to have any of my data.
And what type of information are we talking about here? If you have an iPhone or an iPad, what are they collecting on you?
So pretty much everything you can imagine. If you exhibit a behavior, tapping on something, starting something, doing something, they know. You open an app, you close an app, they know. You turn on location services and turn it off, they know. They know where the phone is pretty much all the time. They don't use this information at all except to make your experience better. And so I would caution everybody, before you decide to have Apple delete your data out of just, you know, because you feel like it should be deleted, understand that you are suspending your security, if you will, for the sake of your own enjoyment, or the quality of enjoyment over the internet. They don't need this information, but your iPhone usage won't learn from your usage if you turn all this off. So, you know, your iPhone gets better as you use it. It anticipates what you're going to do next. But if you take away all its data storing and analyzing capability, because it can't look at your data, it can make predictions about what you're going to need. So that's a trade-off everyone can make. Apple's incredibly, incredibly different than Facebook or Google or any of the other companies in that they don't actually sell advertising. So they don't tend to monetize your data in any other way except by making your experience better. They don't make any money from selling ads. So they don't really need the data for anything except to make you have a better time using their stuff.
All right. Well, it's very interesting. We'll talk with you when it is released to the public and see how it's going. Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group in New York. You can follow him on Twitter at Shelley Palmer and at ShelleyPalmer.com. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, Facebook works to avoid problems like those it encountered during the 2016 presidential campaign.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Now WBBM Business from Bloomberg. And here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, we are still lower. In fact, going for a deeper shade of red, I'm afraid. The Dow is now tumbling 402 points or 1.5%, and the NASDAQ composite losing 2.33% now, down 178 points. The S&P's losses have also increased, down 47 points or 1.67%. Meantime, the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by 1.5%. And crude oil futures also heading lower now, down more than 1% to $69 a barrel. We have a check of the grains. For that, we're going to turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets are lower as we go through the noon hour. Favorable weather, particularly in the Western Corn Belt, has been the negative feature. Also, too, favorable weather in the Southern Hemisphere. This morning's weekly export sales report was on the light side, only selling 15 million bushels of corn, 10 million bushels of beans, and 17 million bushels of wheat. Corn futures are 3.5 to 4.5 cents lower. Beans 21 to 21.75 cents lower, and the wheat market 5 cents lower. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are in the red today. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
Technology Thursday, Facebook's going on the offensive as it tries to avoid a repeat of problems with misinformation it experienced during the 2016 election.
With huge lottery jackpots top of mind, we'll talk about how to handle a financial windfall regardless of the source.
Hundreds of University of Chicago grad students walk off their jobs as they try to gain union representation.
And the U.S. says it'll wait for the outcome of investigations by Saudi Arabia and Turkey before responding to the disappearance of journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 401 points, the NASDAQ off 173, S&P 500 down by 46.5.
AccuWeather says bright sunshine today, becoming breezy and milder, a high of 57. It's 52 degrees in Chicago as the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Well, the markets, as you see, are losing ground, quite a bit of ground today. We're joined by Mike Larson, senior analyst at WeissRating.com in Jupiter, Florida. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Mike. What's causing this?
Well, we got a couple of things, different things going on here, and I think they're kind of all piling on in addition to some lingering concerns from a few days ago. The news out today that U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is not going to be going to Saudi Arabia to an important investment conference over there, I think has some people rattled just because it's another sign of sort of this international confusion and unhappiness with what happened with the journalist over there and questions about whether that might lead to some instability or, you know, Saudi Arabia could even respond in the oil market. So I think that's probably one thing. The other more important issue, though, is what's been going on in China and Italy. China's stock market has really been on a downward trend for some time now and just hit a four-year low. There's concerns about slowing economic growth over there. To top it all off, we've had issues in Europe where the European Commission is fighting with the Italian government over what they're planning to do with their borrowing and spending plans. So Italy would like to do some economic stimulus, but the European Commission is worried that that's going to lead to bigger deficits and more debt and so on. So the combination of all three of those things is really resulting in what you're seeing on your screens right now.
And here in the U.S., we've got the Fed raising rates, and there's some concern about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the lingering issue that we've been dealing with for some time. I mean, this Fed has been saying and had it sort of charted out a course to higher interest rates, almost come heck or high water. They're concerned about inflation. And I think more importantly, and this is something that I think the market hasn't really been picking up on until recently, is the Fed's really concerned about financial instability. A lot of the borrowing and lending excesses going on out there, the fact that the markets, not just stocks, but some other markets like commercial real estate have had very large price gains. So I think there is some, you know, sense in the Fed that they need to get something back to normal in terms of policy rates, and that's starting to weigh on the market as well. I mean, with each interest rate hike that you get, it does put a little more pressure on valuations in the market and some concerns about what's going to happen with earnings in key sectors like housing that are obviously interest rate sensitive.
Well, that would show a healthy economy, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yes, they do. And, you know, the interesting thing about interest rates, if you'll pardon the pun, is that they're a positive until they're not. In the initial stages of an interest rate rising cycle, it is actually bullish for the stock market because it confirms that the economy is improving and it does tend to help out banks. But in every single Fed cycle we've seen over the past few decades, at some point you reach almost like a tipping point where it goes from being bad or good news to being bad news. I'm not 100% sure we've reached that point yet, but certainly some of the weakness we're seeing again in those rate-sensitive sectors, you know, not just your home builders, but some of your retailers like Lowe's and Home Depot more recently, that's a sign that, you know, there may be a little bit more going on here behind the scenes.
Backing away from the sectors of the economy that are sensitive to interest rates, I mean, is the economy at large, is it strong enough and resilient enough at this point in time to kind of shrug off some of these extenuating factors beyond our shores?
Well, I think, you know, so far, so good on that front. But at some point, you know, you do have to worry if that is eventually going to weigh down on our markets. I mean, the divergence in performance between U.S. stocks over the past several months and foreign stocks is pretty much the widest we've seen in the last couple of decades. So you get a stretch situation that, you know, and you can only sort of stretch the rubber band so far before it snaps. So the question is, are we starting to see that? I mean, again, you've seen sectors like housing turn down. Financials have been underperforming the market all year since January, February. And now even some of the tech sectors like the semiconductor sector are looking sort of shaky here on a technical basis. So, again, there are some worries behind the scenes, and I think that's why investors are being more defensive here.
And what's happening in China? Is this can someone point to the tariffs as a contributing factor in their slowdown? Or is this simply a case of nothing can last forever?
Sure. You have a little bit of both there. I mean, the tariffs are obviously having an impact. You have capital trying to come out of China and the worries of the economic impacts and that and so on. But the other thing is that there's simply been a very long-term lending credit expansion boom going on in China for a number of years. And it looks like some of that is starting to be unwound. In the stock market, as I mentioned, their benchmark average is now down to the lowest level or around the lowest level in 4 years. So certainly that reflects concern that, you know, you just can't keep it going forever, even if there hadn't been a tariff fight. But, you know, you throw that on top, and it's definitely a worrisome trend for China's economy and their markets.
Here in the U.S., housing stocks are getting socked because of the Fed with its policies. Are there other areas of business that are going to be beaten up by this?
Well, I think that the real question is, you know, is what happens in housing going to spread to other sectors? And you've had a few of the industrial-type companies start to warn not just about, you know, what may be happening in housing impacting their results, but also just the inflationary impact and the impact on margins from things like tariffs. And the impact that has on raw materials. So we've got to see if more of your W.W. Grainger-type companies or your Textrons and so on, these sort of deep industrial names, if they start rolling over and they start having issues, then that tells you it's more than just a housing story. I mean, we've been telling our investors, be more defensive. This is a time to look at safer, higher-yielding type companies, consumer staples, utilities. Those stocks haven't worked for a long, long time, but they've started to work this year, really for the last 6 to 8 months. And I think that's telling you that some money is rotating from the offensive-type names that did great to some of the more defensive-type names that I think are starting to show their mettle now.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. Mike Larson, senior analyst, WeissRatings.com in Jupiter, Florida. Up next, Technology Thursday. Facebook staffs up as the midterm election rapidly approaches.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, sponsored by Hearing Help Express. Facebook says it's determined to avoid the spread of false information during next month's midterm elections. Let's find out what the company is doing. We welcome in Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the Secret Services Electronic Crimes Task Force based in Chicago. Jerry, welcome back to the program. Facebook has set up this war room to fight phony information on the platform. How are they going to do it?
Well, initially what they've done, and if you've been keeping track of all this, they've made modifications to their monitoring software and alerting software. And what this does is it goes out and finds key indicators of users that are attempting to post fake news or to tempt people into making comments on their political views and things of that nature. But this war room idea, I believe, is probably more of a publicity grabber for them, so that people know they're trying to do something. The real thing they've done is their software. They've gone in and started targeting the things that are going on. If you look at this, there's over 500,000 comments posted every 60 seconds on Facebook today, with over 300,000 new statuses being updated every day. So there's no way that a room full of people are going to be able to look at all of these to see what's going on. What we'll be able to do is it will provide a little bit more collaboration for these people in the room when something is indicated by their software. But the real benefit is the new software that they've implemented and the changes that they've made to their systems to see, you know, who is making false news out there, who is providing information that isn't true.
So they're just going after the people who are spreading false, they call it satirical stories that look legitimate just for the sake of engagement. They're not going after people who may be hyper-partisan but are posting things that are actually true or making a good faith effort at being accurate.
That's correct. I mean, what they're doing is it's searching to see where information is originating from, and if it looks like it's originating from somewhere where it's not claiming to be, then they can block it or they can, notify the authorities. The other thing is if they're asking for weird types or untoward types of activity, if they're saying go out and make a vote on a text to this number and do this. So what they're doing is looking at the activities that are going on, where they're generating from, and what they're asking people to do.
This comes just a few weeks after millions of Facebook users were invaded. How's Facebook doing with that?
Yeah, that's the biggest issue. Depending on the exact situation, there's between 50 million and 90 million accounts that have been breached recently. That's something that's just always going to happen because the average person today continues to use a single form of authentication, and that's a password. And the average person's password today is still password. So until we teach people that you got to use the multiple form factor authentication, not only use a password, but also have it text you to make sure you're getting into the system and it's not somebody else, those types of breaches are going to continue to occur.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the information. Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the Secret Services Electronic Crimes Task Force based in Chicago. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, how to handle a big influx of money.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Powerball and Mega Millions payouts are hitting eye-popping levels, triggering dreams of instant wealth. Let's discuss what you might do if you actually do hit the jackpot or receive any type of financial windfall. We welcome Craig Bolanos, who's founding partner and chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness. Thanks for joining us today, Craig. A lot of us might say our worries are over now, but that's not exactly true, is it?
No, it's not. But isn't it fun to dream big when you see the billboards up and down the expressway? 430 million, 900 million. It's intoxicating. Now, no one ever plans on winning the lottery. But if we did, What are some of the things we ought to be doing? I'm going to start with the basics. Number one, you better sign that ticket, because remember, a lottery ticket is a, you know, what I call a bearer instrument. If you lose it, you drop it, and someone else signs it, it's now theirs. So the first thing you got to do is just sign the ticket, and then you got to secure it.
And secure it meaning what?
Well, you know, I think everyone's going to define security in their own way, but I'm thinking immediately this is going into a firebox, a safe, a safety deposit box, because it's got such tremendous value. So after we sign that ticket, after we secure it, then the first phone call we make is not to our family and friends, but we've got to start surrounding ourselves with the right professionals.
And so you've got to find some people you trust, and you've got to do it quickly.
You got to find people you can trust, people that are willing to allow you to remain anonymous. You know, they're going to sign non-disclosure agreements. And it's got to be people that are used to dealing with the big money. And just lottery winners get themselves in trouble time and time again because they don't stay tight-lipped. They start talking to everybody before they have all their ducks in a row. So it's not just about investing. It's not just about getting the right professionals, but you even have to think liability, whether you inherit a bunch of money, whether you win the lottery, because all of a sudden, once everybody knows that you've got money, they're laying down in front of your car at the Mariano's, hoping to go ahead and file a claim against you.
Well, Craig, there is many stories of lottery winners who get massive payouts, and then they say it was the worst thing that ever happened to them because it tore their family apart, it caused friendships to fall apart because everybody fought over that windfall. So it's kind of like a Twilight Zone twist in some ways.
You know, it very much is, and I think those that fall victim to lottery success, which is exactly what you're referring to, Rob, it's because they didn't create a system of buffers. You know, if you come into a lot of money, you know, the company you work for gets bought out and you get monetized. You inherit money. You win the lottery. You've got to put systems and mechanics in place so that there's a pause mechanism. So all those asking for money, asking for investment, asking for donation, know the steps. There needs to be a separation of what I call church and state.
Well, thanks a lot. Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group based in Inverness. You can find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News time at 12:55, and the news is powered by Con Ed's Energy Efficiency Program. Let's take a look at the markets right now with Elisa Perini.
Chris, it is a massive sell-off. The Dow is tumbling 434 points, or 1.67%. The NASDAQ composite down 176 points. That is a loss of 2.33%. S&P down 49. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg now lower by almost 2%. Wall Street is grappling with a Federal Reserve that is planning more interest rate hikes. Stocks also lost ground yesterday. All of this after the release of the Fed September minute meetings. The minutes from that meeting. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.